Amen. Thank you, Mrs. Pollock. You know, it's funny. We know that's true. But sometimes we get in a situation and we say, I don't know what to do. Well, there it is. Amen. Well, once again, I'm glad to be able to preach to you tonight. I always thank preacher for the opportunity to get up here and to stand before you and share with you the Word of God and what God has laid on my heart to give to you tonight. And I want to thank you for being here, because you're part of my sermon tonight. Amen? Isn't that good? Aren't you glad? And I'm not going to call you up here and ask do a hat trick or anything like that, but you're going to be part of my message, because you are displaying part of what I'm going to talk about tonight. And we're going to be in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy tonight, and in chapter 1. And you, if you know me very well at all, I like to ask questions. I guess that comes with being an educator. Amen? I like to ask questions. I like to make you think about things. One of the best ways to get kids to learn is to get them to ask questions. To get them to think about things instead of just sitting there going, when's school going to be out? When's lunch? When do I get to go home and play my Xbox? It just, you know, whatever. But to get them to think about something, And sometimes, so I'll just say off-the-wall things at times, and just to get them to see if they're paying attention, or just to see if, I like to ask questions about stuff, because it makes us think. You've heard the cliches, you know, an idle hands and idle mind is the devil's workshop. I believe that's true. What do you think television does to you? Makes you turn your mind off. You just stand there. And you're not thinking about anything. Your mind just spinning in neutral. Yeah, that's really great. No, the Word of God wants us to think. The Word of God and God wants us to be asking questions and to be pursuing something in our life. And so tonight I want to ask you a question after we read this portion of Scripture. So if you'll stand, and we'll start in verse 11 in 1 Timothy in chapter 1. It says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And this is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. I want to go back to verse 12 and look at the middle of that verse. Who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful. For that he counted me faithful. And here's the question for you. Are you ready? Are you faithful? It's that simple. Are you faithful? We're going to spend a few moments furiously going through the Word of God, finding out what it means to be faithful. You know, you're here. I told you you're part of my message tonight. That's part of being faithful. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You right now are being faithful. But are you faithful in your life as a whole? Dear Heavenly Father, I love you, and Lord, I pray that you bless tonight. And oh God, what we need today in our society, in this perilous time, in this time, in the last days, we need faithful Christians. We need millions of them. Trillions of them. Faithful Christians all over this world. so that your precious gospel can be spread to every corner, so that we can carry out the great commission that you've entrusted to us, if we'll just be counted faithful. And God, would you help me tonight as I preach this message you've laid on my heart? Lord, we pray that you lift up our preacher. Lord, strengthen him. Give him supernatural strength. Help his body to heal quickly. Lord, his heart's desire. You've called him to preach. You've called him to the ministry, and he wants to be here. And God, would you help his body? Help him as he tries to preach this Sunday, that he'll be able to get up here and share with us the Word of God. And Lord, we thank you for each member. We think of those that are hurting. Lord, comfort each one in their situation. Lord, help us to be attentive tonight, to pay attention, to let the Spirit of God speak to us as we hear the message. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Are you faithful? In order to find the answer to that question, you have to know what being faithful is. Some of you that are married would know what faithful means. Maybe some of you that have been a Christian, you grew up in a Christian home, you know what it means to be faithful. But here we want to look at the Word of God, because listen, I could tell you anything I wanted to, and you might believe me. I just might be able to convince you, just with ability, if you will. Or I might be able to fool some of you. But the Word of God is truth. It's a foundation. So why would we go looking anywhere else for definitions of stuff when we can look to the Word of God? Hey, so if we want to find out what faithfulness is by God's standard, if we want to find out if we are faithful by God's standard, let's look in God's Word. And so number one, I want to talk to you tonight about what does it mean to be faithful? What does it mean to be faithful? Now, I did look in the dictionary to give us a little direction here. Otherwise, we could go through every book of the Bible and find examples of those that were faithful and definitions of faithfulness. But here's one: full of faith, belief, and trust. To be faithful. If you would turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 6. We see here a time in the church where it was on fire. I mean, things were happening in the church of God. People were getting saved by the literal thousands and added to the church. And if we look in Acts chapter 6, we see something special here. Look in verse 2. Then the 12 called unto the multitude of disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Look down in verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith. Full of faith. He was full of faith. And it showed in his life. Look just one chapter over. And we see the end of Stephen's life. After he gets done preaching to the face of, I mean, these men turned into wild animals. They gnashed on him with their teeth. Look at this. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit, and kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He was a man full of faith. He had something special. He was faithful in his service to God. It says about Stephen, that and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Listen, he had something special. He was full of faith. He was faithful. So what does it mean to be faithful? It means to be full of faith. What is faith? What is faith? It's the evidence of things hoped for. Isn't it? Huh? It is. Things we can't see. It's believing in the Word of God as the Word of God. Hey, this book is not just another book. This man isn't asking for 12 loads of paper to print money or to print magazines or entertainment or any other thing. He wants 12 loads of paper to print the Word of God. It's God's Word. You know what? Who gives us faith? God does. So you know what? If God's given out something, why don't we get all we can get? He said if we ask Him, He'll give it to us. So why don't you just fill up? I mean, get full. Listen, you know me. I love to eat. I do. I'll eat and eat and eat and eat and eat. And look at me. I think that, now you're jealous. I do. I can sit down and eat ribs, I think, and steak, anything that says moo. All day long. I could. Forget the salad. Forget the green stuff. Forget the nuts, Brother Cliff. Meat. And I like to get full. Don't you like to be full? Doesn't that feel good? I like to get so full it hurts. And you're just like, oh, I shouldn't have ate that last bite, but it was good. Are you full of faith? Hey, listen, we're living in a day of scoffers. We're living in a day of people that question God and say, hey, is there really a God? We ought to be full of faith. I mean, they ought to see it bubbling out of our heads. We ought to be so full of faith that it just keeps coming out. I mean, God said He'll give it. He didn't say when He'd stop. He just said if we'd ask, we can have it, and we could be full of faith. Hey, are you full of your belief and trust in God? Are you so full that it overflows onto other people? Or are you so empty that nobody can tell anything about you? They were told to choose some men that were full of the Holy Ghost, that were full of faith. And they found 7 out of 8,000 that had been saved. That means there was a whole bunch that weren't full of faith, that weren't full of the Holy Ghost. What's wrong with them? They didn't ask. Maybe they didn't want it. I don't know. It doesn't say. But we need to be faithful. Hey, the second thing it tells us is not only full of faith and belief and trust, but firmly adhering to duties, loyalties, and allegiances. So not just full of faith, but firmly adhering. Are you firmly adhering today? Hey, turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I think the Apostle Paul is a good example of someone who firmly adhered to the faith. He was faithful. And look what he tells Timothy, his son in the faith, toward the end of his life. In verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." He was faithful. Paul was faithful. He kept the faith. Hey, he tells us that we need to fight for the faith. We need to stand up for the faith that we hold. Are you on the front lines today? Are you adhering to the duties? Are you enduring as a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Are you faithful? Or when somebody starts ragging on Christianity, do you kind of just slink off into a corner somewhere and hide? Or when you're given an opportunity to tell someone about the gospel of Jesus Christ, do you just turn and walk the other direction? How is it with you? Are you faithful? Are you faithful? Do you adhere to the faith that God has given to you? Does it mean something to you? He said, hey, I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Are you looking for His coming? Are you listening for the trumpet sound? Are you pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Are you faithful today? I'm just asking. Are you faithful? Hey, the Bible tells us what we need to do. Hey, one more thing it tells us. Not only is it full of faith, belief, and trust. Not only is it firmly adhering to duties, loyalties, and allegiances. It is also observant of contracts, vows, and commands. That's someone who's faithful. Are you living a separated life like you're supposed to? Hey, did you tell God that you would be obedient to His will in your life and now you're off doing your own thing? Are you faithful? Are you faithful? Are you observant to contracts, vows, and commands? Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. Solomon makes a statement here. It's very interesting. It's very potent if you think about it. How many times have you said, God, I'll do this if you get me out of this mess? Or you'll be convicted of the Holy Spirit of God and you'll come to this altar and I just preached a message about this a while ago. About our vows to God. And you'll make a vow and you'll commit your life to God and then you turn away from it. Solomon speaks very clearly about this subject. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better it is that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Are you observant to the vows that you've made to God? If you are, you are faithful. If you are not, you are unfaithful. It's as simple as that. Hey, a lot of things in the Word of God are not too hard to figure out. They're black and white. And I'm not talking about the words on the page. It's light and darkness. That's how God works. He's a God of order. He makes it very simple and very plain. He tells us to have childlike faith. That's not hard to do. That's not hard to do. Anybody can do it. Anybody can be faithful. You can keep a promise, can't you? Oh, wait, maybe you can't. I'm just asking if you're faithful. Do you know what it means to be faithful? In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus gives us a command. He's getting ready to leave this earth, and this is what he says. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Hey, that's a command. Last I checked, he said, go do this. Are you faithful? Are you faithful? Hey, are you full of faith, belief, and trust? Are you firmly adhering to the duties, loyalties, and allegiances that you've made in your life? Are you observant of contracts, vows, and commands? If you are, you are faithful. If you are not, you are unfaithful. Hey, let me tell you something. I can't do everything. That's hard for a man to say, isn't it, guys? I can't do everything. I don't have the talents that some of you have. I don't have the abilities that some of you have. I don't have the call of God in my life to go be a missionary somewhere. But I can be faithful. I know I can do that. I can be faithful. Hey, I might not be able to preach to thousands. I might not be able to pastor. I might not be able to do this or do that. But I can be faithful. Anybody can do that. You see, and if we would be faithful, we'd be blowing the roof off this place trying to fit the people in. There'd be beacons of light like Trinity Baptist Church all over our country in our world today if Christians would be faithful. Because you know what? God is faithful. He's never been unfaithful. He will always be faithful because He is God. And you know what? He is our Father. Isn't that great? Hey, I love having children, and I love my little boys, God bless them, want to be just like their daddy. Lord help them. And they get excited. And they want to wear boots like daddy wears. They want to wear suits like daddy wears. They want to wear a tie. They want their hair combed just like daddy. They want to be just like daddy. I have faithful children. They want to be like daddy. Are you a faithful child of God? Do you want to be like your daddy? Hey, I'm just trying to ask you, are you faithful? What does it mean to be faithful? Well, now we know that. So let me ask you another question. Why should I be faithful? Why should I be faithful? What's the motivation? Or in this day and age, people like to ask, what's in it for me? Well, I'll tell you, okay? How about that? I'll appease your flesh for a little bit tonight. Matthew 25, if you would. If you want to know what's in it for me, I'll tell you. The Word of God tells us what it's in it for us. Matthew chapter 25, Jesus gives us an illustration of what it means to be faithful. Right here in the Word of God. Look at verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them 5 other talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoned with them. So then he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Isn't that enough for you? Isn't that enough for you? Hey, how many of you love it when somebody in authority over you says, you dummy, why'd you do that? You just love it, right? That just makes you all giggly inside. You just... No! You love it when they walk up to you and they say, son, you did a good job. I'm proud of you. Well done. Boy, that just makes you feel like $1 million. I love it when preacher says to me, son, you did a good job. I hate it when he tips his glasses down to me and says, son, let's talk about something. I get like this tall. I mean, nobody likes to hear it the other way. Everybody wants to hear well done. Hey, if you're faithful, God will say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. 2 examples of faithfulness. So, why should I be faithful? Hey, there's rewards to faithfulness. There are rewards to faithfulness. No, I'm not talking about doing something to get a prize. But Paul tells us to run the race. To win the prize. Hey, God wants us to have that prize. He wants us to have crowns that we can cast at His feet for His honor and His glory. I don't want to stand before the judgment seat of Christ empty-handed. I want to be faithful. So that when I can stand before my master, I am a faithful servant. If He's given me 5 talents, if he's given me two, if he's given me one, whatever he's given me, I want to be able to say, Master, here's what you gave me, and here's what I did with it. It's for you. I want to be faithful. Hey, there's a Savior in heaven who gave it all for you. He paid the ultimate price for you. He suffered those lashes for you. He was crucified on the cross for you. His beard was plucked out of his face for you. He was a walking piece of hamburger meat for you. That's what they said he looked like. His visage was so marred, he didn't even look like a man. He hung on the cross naked for you. His own father turned his back on him for you. Hey, that's a motivation enough for me. That I want to be counted faithful. Paul didn't say his peers counted him faithful. God counted Paul faithful. I want to be counted faithful. I want that reward. I don't want what this man had to endure. Look at verse 24. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man. Can I translate that for you? God, I read your word. I heard the preaching. I knew that you expected some things from me. Reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I had sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath ten. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall it be taken away, even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't want to endure that. There's a reward to faithfulness, but there's a punishment to faithfulness. Or unfaithfulness, rather. Hey, you think God's going to let you get away with not being faithful? Hey, there's the great white throne judgment. I understand that in Scripture. But there's also the judgment seat of Christ. And let me tell you, there are going to be some tears in heaven. See, that's not what the Bible says. Well, it says he wipes them away. So that means there has to be some there. If you're going to wipe something away, it has to be present. And you know what? I already can think of several things that I'll be ashamed of when I stand before Christ. There's some blood on these hands. People that I have not told about the gospel of Christ, and I never had another chance. There's been some times where I've been unfaithful, but I can change that. I can be faithful, and I can do my part to be faithful. And listen, you ought to be motivated by the reward of faithfulness and motivated by the punishment of unfaithfulness. But you know what? Faithfulness also has an eternal value. It's got an eternal value. Hey, we're supposed to lay not up for ourselves treasures on earth, where moss and rust doth corrupt. We're supposed to lay up treasures in heaven. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be faithful. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It tells about our faithfulness. Look at verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Hey, your faithfulness has an eternal value. It carries an eternal value. Listen, why should I be faithful? Because it has an eternal value. It is valuable. It's better than the stock market. It's better than a 401k. It's eternal. Your faithfulness has eternal value. Now, very lastly, how can I be faithful? You know, I actually probably preach till midnight because there's no school tomorrow. Right? Right, kiddos? Okay. How can I be faithful? All right, Brother Combs, you asked me the question, am I faithful? You told me what faithfulness was. You told me why I should be faithful, but I don't know how. Where do I start? My life is in shambles. I've got a lot of wrong priorities. Brother Combs, how can I be faithful? Can I tell you? It starts with this right here. It starts with this right here. Where did you find out how to go to heaven? If you found out any other way, you may not be going to heaven. You say, well, somebody told me. Yeah, but they told you this. The Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hey, you want to know how you can be faithful? Read, follow, and apply the Word of God to your life. Boy, that's pretty simple. Yeah, exactly. I'm not trying to make it difficult for you. I'm not trying to be complex, just real down to earth. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. I knew I was in the Bible somewhere. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You want to be faithful? Read, follow, and apply the Word of God to your life. Hey, there's times where I've gotten up in the morning, I'm getting ready for work, and I see that my face needs to be shaved. It registers somewhere in this abyss in my head. And there's been on a couple of occasions where I'll get in my car and I'll come to work and I'll go like this and I'll go, ugh, forgot to shave. I saw it in the mirror. I've been doing it since I was 17. But I was forgetful that day. Hey, how long have you been reading this book? How long have you been under the preaching of this book? We need to hear it over and over and over and over. We need to remove not the ancient landmarks. We need to read it and 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 read it. That helps. But we need to follow and apply it to our lives. You know, it does you no good to see a sign that says bridge out and be able to read it and you just keep driving. Does no good. It does you really no good to read the Bible and just ignore everything that it says. What good is it going to do you? If you've already made up your mind that you're not going to listen to it, you need to read, follow, and apply the Word of God to your life. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. How is it with you today? Are you faithful? Are you following, reading, and applying the Word of God to your life every day? How about this? Remember that faithful was not only adhering to rules and covenants and vows and things like that, but it was being full of the Holy Ghost, full of faith, full of faith. Hey, in Ephesians chapter 5, it says, "Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." We're supposed to be full. Full of the Spirit of God. Hey, in Thessalonians, it tells us to quench not the Spirit. Don't quench him. Don't snuff him out. Don't make his voice so small it can't even be heard. Remember, he lives there. He's not going away. But he may be quiet. I don't think he likes being a broken record. This is the song that never ends. He just keeps getting softer and softer and softer. Because you're not listening anyhow. You don't want him part of your life. You need to be full of the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 11, listen to what it says about Barnabas. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God and was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. Hey, what about Peter's life? What about Paul's life and Stephen's life and Barnabas? Hey, these men of God were full of faith. They were full of faith. You know, there's some ingredients to being full of faith found in 1 Thessalonians. Turn there, chapter 5. I read one of them, quench not the Spirit. But in 1 Thessalonians, it gives us a whole list of things that we can do to be full of faith. Look at verse 14. "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God for your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved, blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." Hey, you want to be faithful? Get full of some of this stuff. Get full of the Spirit of God. Hey, may his fruit be evident in your life, and you'll be known as faithful. Full of faith. Hey, how did the church know to seek out these men? What showed in their life? How about love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, those things? Didn't they? How much you want to bet? How much you want to bet they were out soul winning? How much you want to bet they were out discipling people and telling about Jesus and sacrificing and being a servant? They were faithful men. And then you know what? There are Christians who were faithful. You've been faithful in the past, but now you're unfaithful. You know why that happens? Sin. Do you want to stay faithful? Or would you like to get back to being faithful? Go to 1 John, and we'll end here tonight. Hey, listen, I'm not going to stand up here and lie to you and say that I'm perfect. Nobody is. And I'm not going to stand here and tell you that I've always been faithful. Nobody has. Except for Jesus Christ. Except for God. No human being has ever been always faithful. Every single moment of every single day to God. So what? Should we just all give up? Go home? Nah, what's the use? I can't do it anyways. No. That's not the right answer. We can be faithful. And listen, we need things like this to say, hey, click, click, click. Am I faithful right now? No or yes? And if it's yes, praise God. If it's no, here's the altar. You can get cleaned up again. You see, God wants faithful, faithful children. Look what John tells us. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Hey, you think he's excited about this? The beloved apostle? The one whom Jesus loved? He was excited about Jesus, the word of life. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. Why? That ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. This is good things, right? This is faithful. This is what we need here. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. We're setting this up here. If God is faithful, he is light, right? No darkness. No darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. Unfaithful. Unfaithful. And do not the truth. Unfaithful. But if we walk in the light, faithful. As he is in the light, he's faithful. We have fellowship. Faithful. Joy. Happy times. One with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. From all sin. We're clean. We're clean. Fellowship. Faithful. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. There it is. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Unfaithful. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It can happen. It can happen for you, Christian. God is not going to take one look at you in your position right now. Maybe you're away from him. Maybe you are unfaithful at this moment in time. He's not going to look at you and say, I knew you'd be unfaithful. I don't know why I accepted you in the first place. He's not going to do it. He's faithful. He is faithful. Hey, just ask Hosea what that means. ask him. God kept telling him, take her back. Take her back. Hosea, I want you to see what it feels like to live with an unfaithful woman. Because Israel's unfaithful to me. But what did God do? Took him back. Took him back. Took him back. Took him back. Because he is faithful. You see, we can be faithful. You can do it. God wants you to be faithful. Because the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He's given us his word to keep us faithful. You got a Bible today? Read it. Follow it. Apply it to your life and be faithful. Every head bowed, every eye closed.